brought to you by Penguin.
Saint Death's Daughter. Written and read by C.S.E. Cooney. Prologue. Rain Day, 29th. Month of Embers. 413 Founding Era. 121 days till winter solstice. Amanita Muscaria Stones, care of Jurlady Galethi, Caravan School, the Traveling Palaces of Higher Quadib, Waystation 7. Nita, they are both dead. Father a month ago, mother last week. While I was unable to change the fact of their deaths, I did my best to raise them up after. I followed Irradiant Stones' comprehensive treatise on the benefits of revitalizing your revenants while their flesh is more or less fresh, which is, as texts on death magic go, fairly straightforward. Such a complex resurrection rite, however, requires a high holy fire feast, and, alas, autumn equinox had already come and gone by the time they brought Father's body home. When Mother died, we were nowhere near a surge. My attempts failed. Mostly failed. Father did open his eye, down in Stone's ossuary, and blink a few times, but he had no more sense than a baby bird. Mother was more emphatic in her response. She spat black blood at me and cursed. I could not understand the words. They were probably gibberish. The prevailing theory is that the dead lose their memory quickly, and without a mature necromancer's blood to spark it back, language is the first thing to go. My own blood, alas, will not attain full maturity for a few years yet. Neither of our parents' corpses stayed animate for more than a few minutes. Their remains turned to sludge soon after I performed the rite, and I did not have opportunity for further experimentation. Now for more staggering news. Just this morning, a woman named Sari Scratch arrived at Stone's Manor, along with her three sons, and announced that she was calling in all our family's debts. I, not being aware that we had any, was disinclined to believe her and opined that she and her progeny were all swindling impostors who would find no ready victim in me. But, Nita, this Mistress Scratch merely smiled at me like I was a naughty yet adorably precocious child. She summoned from the depths of her coach an ordained notary priestess of Lansathi, whom she had chartered to verify our family's contract. The contract was then explained to me in exhaustive detail by the notary priestess herself. When we came to its end, I saw what no forger could have hoped to accomplish, all of their names signed in their blood. Such is the magic of Lansathi that I'd swear the ink was still wet, though the contract was dated 4 years ago. There was Father's signature taking up half the page, Mother's so crabbed that I had to hold the sheet up next to my face, and Aunt Diggy's so jingled that it danced into the margins. One could practically smell the gin. The sigil of the god bound the whole contract so fast, four horses pulling in the four cardinal directions could not rip it asunder. Very professional magic. That being settled, and me put in my place, Mistress Scratch introduced herself properly. She and her sons originally hail from northernmost Skakmat, but became citizens of Lyriat 4 years ago. I'd not met them before, because I never meet anyone. But I don't think even you could have crossed paths with them, Nita, for they moved to Lyriat proper a few months after you left for school. They've close business ties to the Blood Royal Brackenwilds, which is, I'm sure, how they met Father. But allow me to sum up the nature of our debts while I still have it fresh in my mind. Between Aunt Diggy's gambling, Mother's special chemicals and weapons requests, Father's operas and races, and, pardon me, the cost of your schooling abroad, along with a host of other necessities and indulgences that attend the honor of our family being close intimates with the Brackenwilds, we are so deeply mired in debt that they'll be burning us for peat in another 1,000 years. So long as Mother had her usual commissions coming in, and Father continued his work at Castle Inisile, and Aunt Diggy was still...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?